This is Michael Weiss with Series 7 Exam Sitter. The purpose of this episode and the other episodes is to help you think like an investor and to give you an edge in answering questions. This episode will focus on the trading markets and orders. It will not cover everything, but it'll cover important and sometimes difficult content for people. Also, to tie this to the real world, most people just enter market orders. For the most part, these orders are used by people in the industry, like traders and technical analysts. A fundamental analyst might use these orders, but probably they would only use limit orders. Now, first, let's define the orders. We have a market order, a limit order, and a stop limit order. A market order is the simplest one. It's a one-step process. You put in your order, buy 1,000 shares of J&J at the market, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. It's a one-step process, it will be executed immediately. Now, then you have limit orders. Limit orders also reflect a one-step process. So the limit order, you're trying to get a price or better. In the case of a buy limit, you're trying to get a price or lower. In the case of a sell limit, you're trying to get a price or higher. The risk is the order may never get executed. And keep in mind that with a limit order, there's no such thing as an activation price. Either you execute it or you don't, it's not a two-step process, it's only a one-step process. Now with a stop order, now that's special. So that's a two-step process. You have an activation price, which we sometimes call elect or a trigger. And then that stop order turns into a market order. And then after that happens, it'll get executed on the next trade. Doesn't matter if it's higher, it's lower, it's the same, doesn't matter. So in order to activate, you have to hit the stop or cross through it. And then it just, like I said, just turns into a market order and you'll get it right away. Now, a variation of a stop order is a stop limit order. That order starts out as a stop order, and then once it gets activated, it turns into a limit order. So that also, that is a two-step process. First, you have to activate it, and then you're gonna try to execute it, but the execution may or may not happen. Now, let's talk about these orders in terms of the orders that are entered above the market and the orders that are entered below the market. And I'm gonna start with the orders that are entered below the market. And what does that even mean? That means that if the stock price is 150, you're gonna put in the order for a price that's less than 150. So there are three of them. There's a buy limit, there's a sell stop, and there's a sell stop limit. And there's an acronym you can use to help you remember this. It's BLISS, B-L-I-S-S. And if you attach an L at the end, well, there you get the sell stop limit. Now, so let's talk about the buy limit and the rationale for the buy limit. A buy limit is a one-step process. There's no such thing as an activation price on a buy limit. So let's say you like the company J&J, and J&J is trading at 150. But you don't want to pay 150. You want to pay 140, right? You want a cheaper stock. So you put in your order, buy 1,000 J&J, limit 140. And if the stock happens to go to 140 or lower, you will buy it. There's no such thing as an activation price there, either you get it or you don't. Now, and just the main reason again for that one, you just wanna buy a cheaper stock. And I can see how a fundamental analyst would use an order like that. Then you have a sell stop. Well, that's a two-step process. So with a sell stop, you already own the shares typically. And you, of course, you're gonna hope they go up, but you're fearing that they might fall. And if they fall, you could lose money. So to avoid losses, you're gonna put on a sell stop. So let's say you own some shares of J&J and J&J is trading at 150, but you think that if the stock goes to, let's say 145 or lower, it's gonna go a lot lower than that. So that's, you're gonna put on your sell stop. Now to protect yourself against the falling stock price. Alternatively, you could also buy a put option. Now, so let's say that J&J, which is now trading at 150, it starts trending down, and eventually it hits 145 or crosses through it. That will turn into a market order, and then you will execute that order on the very next trade. Now, that's a two-step process. Anything with stop in it reflects a two-step process: activation and then execution. Now, if you want to get really fancy, you could enter a sell stop limit. So that starts out as a sell stop, and then it turns into a sell limit. So there, initially, the stock, and let's say the stock is J&J, and you own about 1,000 shares, and you think, well, the stock might start going lower. I want to get out of it before I lose too much money, but I don't want to sell it at a price that's too low. So you put a limit on it, a sell stop limit. So this one will get activated if it gets to that stop price or lower, but it will only execute at the limit price or higher. You're taking more risk here. You're trying to get a little fancy. Now, if the order does get activated, well, then you're going to have to get a price or higher. And if the stock goes down a lot lower, it jumps over your limit, so then you may not actually end up executing the order because you got too fancy. Now, those are the orders that are entered below the market. And just to summarize, with a buy limit, you basically just want to buy a cheaper stock. With a sell stop or a sell stop limit, you own the shares and you're trying to protect yourself against losing money, or perhaps trying to protect a gain that you already have. Now, those orders happen to get reduced when a company goes ex-dividend. So if a company goes ex-dividend for, let's say, $2, you're going to have to reduce the orders by $2. Because you really don't want to let the fact that a company went ex-dividend influence whether an order is activated or executed. Now, the only time that that would not get reduced is you actually mark the order DNR, do not reduce. Now we're going to talk about the orders that are entered above the market. So you have a sell limit, you have a buy stop, and you have a buy stop limit. And there's an acronym you can use to help you remember this one too, and that's SLOBS. And if you put an L at the end, well, then you'll get the buy stop limit part. So SL, sell limit, buy stop, that's the BS part. And buy stop limit, that's when you attach the L to it. So the sell limit, this means basically you'll be owning the shares already. And perhaps you've owned them and maybe you've made some money on them already. So let's put this in a hypothetical. You bought some shares of J&J, bought 1,000 shares of J&J, and let's say you bought them at $75 per share. Now the stock is trading at like 150. Well, you've doubled your money. So now you're thinking, well, it's probably going to be a good time to get out of it, but I'll try to get out of it at a slightly higher price. So you put in your sell limit, and let's say it's a sell 1,000 shares, J&J, 155. If the stock goes to 155 or higher, you're going to sell J&J. Basically, just trying to take profits on a stock position that you're already making money on. Then we have a buy stop. And by the way, again, the sell limits, it's a one-step process. All limit orders are a one-step process. There's no such thing as an activation price on a limit order. There's no such thing as an activation price on a stop order, on a limit order. So only on the stop orders do you have activation prices. And after working with lots of students, there are so many of them who always are looking for an activation price on like every order, whether it's a limit order, a stop order, a market order, they're always looking for activation. But that only happens on stop orders and stop limit orders. Now, let's talk about a buy stop. A buy stop, because it has the word stop in it, that turns into a two-step process. It starts out as a stop order, and then it turns into a market order once it gets activated. So now these orders are entered above the market. So again, like if J&J is trading at 150, every order here is going to be higher than 150. So now it's also important to know that with a buy stop, usually this is done on short positions. And that's another issue. So sometimes people get are a little bit confused on shorting stocks. The concept of shorting stocks is basically you want to sell high and hopefully buy back low. It's kind of like the opposite of what you do when you buy a stock. But shorting stocks is really risky. And if the stock goes up, you can lose a lot of money. So the way that we protect a short sale is you're basically going to put on a buy stop, and that'll protect you against a rising stock price. Alternatively, you could buy a call option. They would both achieve the same goal. So let's say we shorted 1,000 shares of J&J at 150 because we think the stock has run up a lot, and we think now maybe they're going to have bad earnings and the stock's going to fall. So if the stock falls, you can make a lot of money. Unfortunately, if the stock rises, you can lose a lot of money. So we're going to put on that buy stop. So you short it at 150, and then you're putting in the order, buy 1,000 shares of J&J, stop 155. And if J&J hits 155 or higher, it will activate. And the very next trade, it will execute because it turns into a market order. And if that happens, you're basically closing out your interest in your short sale in J&J. Now, if we want to get fancy with this, we could turn this into a buy stop limit. Now, with a buy stop limit, it starts out as a buy stop and then turns into a buy limit after it gets activated. But again, here, because it has the word stop in it, this is a two-step process. First, activation, then hopefully execution. So what we're saying here is that if the stock goes up, it'll activate, but then you will not be buying it unless it's a price or lower because you put that limit on. So let's say that J&J, you shorted it at 150, and you put your buy stop limit on at, let's say, 155. And so, and you could also, you can also put two prices in here. Like you could do stop 150 and limit, I'm sorry, let's say stop 155 and limit 159. And then you won't want to pay any more than 159 for that, for buying the shares. So let's see, you put in your buy stop limit, stop 155 and limit 159, J&J starts trading up and it hits 155 and goes higher. Well, then it will activate. And now let's say that because of market activity, all of a sudden the stock jumps over 159 and goes to 160 and 170 and 180. And 190, and you're still sitting there with the stock that you shorted at 150, and you're losing lots and lots of money. So if you're short a stock, it's probably not the greatest idea to do a buy stop limit. You probably just do a buy stop to protect it, or just buy a call option. So in that case, because the order did not get did not end up with it at 159, or the stock did not end up at 159 or lower, you actually didn't buy it. So you were not able to close out the short sale and you ended up losing a lot of money. Now those orders are entered above the market. Sell limit, and just to kind of like recap, the sell limit, basically you're trying to get out of a stock that you've made some money on. And with a buy stop and a buy stop limit, you're basically trying to protect yourself against losing money on a short sale. Now, you can check the website periodically for updates to the podcast. Specifically, you can go to www.series7examtutor.com, and then the podcast link is on the navigation menu near the bottom of the page. Thanks for listening.